So we're going to discuss the Hope Venue. And as Mike had mentioned earlier, it's part of a Prezi. You're going to get the PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to send that to you after the celebration. And it actually goes through Pastor Love, Hope, Faith. And we're going to hit on the Hope next. And the Hope has intentional preparation, inclusive gathering, inspirational Sunday service. So we're going to kind of cover those three areas. And then we're going to reflect just like we did about the healthy pastor portion. The definition of Hope Venue is worship is our response inside of Christ, the objective reality of Christ's vicarious life of faith, prayer, worship, thanksgiving, and self-offering to the Father. Jesus is our eternal high priest who sweeps us up into divine worship. Worship is inspired and brought together in the congregation on a Sunday morning, the Hope, under the oversight of a capable lead pastor. The leaders of the Hope Venue create an intentionally Christ-centered environment where all who are present can meaningfully worship with Jesus. And finally, all who have gathered in Christ are sent out into their neighborhood filled with the hope of Christ. And we kind of touched on some of that even earlier, some of your questions. We're talking about going into the neighborhood and how do we assimilate, and we're going to discuss some of those. So intentional preparation. What does it look like? Worship and assimilation that are communicating, coordinating, holding planning meetings, and working well together. So that means that it's not the pastor doing it all. We talked about that earlier. Mike touched on that. We're talking about team-based, pastor-led. So do you meet with your worship leader? Do you meet and have a conversation about where we're going to go with the service when we come to church on Sunday? Are you holding planning meetings? Or do you just prepare your RCL the night before you get up and speak? Is your worship leader working with you and planning the service so that it connects? It's all worshipful. The entire service is one flow. And we're going to actually be modeling a worship service on Sunday. So you will see that flow, and how does that work together from the time you enter, from the not just the parking lot, but if somebody looks at your website, from that point forward, is it continuous and is it all flowing together? Are we using the RCL? That's been mentioned, and it's going to continue to be mentioned, as Mike gave a great example of where he came from with the RCL. And I know I've been encouraging you all to use the RCL. It's a wonderful resource. We have a lot of dedicated pastors who are writing the RCL for you. It's not just something randomly put together. It's very thoughtfully put together. There is a speaking of life that goes along with that RCL. So there's a lot of opportunity to use that. But as Mike said, we don't just read it. It's not something that you're going to be able to do just the night before you get up and go to church the next day. It has to be thought out. And it's following the Christian calendar. So it's actually something that can be planned out, and going back to the planning and thinking about things. It's not random and last minute. Do our outreach events connect to a worship event? When we go out and we go through the assimilation, when we have an event, like you were talking about having a barbecue, do they know that they could come to church? You know, are you connecting it to you? It doesn't mean that you have to, we are the church, but there should be an intentional, there should be a reason why you're doing something. It's not just random, okay? If you have, for example, let's say you want to do a carnival on a Saturday, and because you're church happens to be near a school, you decide to give away backpacks, but you tie it back to the church service on Sunday and you invite them and you say, you know what, we're going to have a blessing of the children on Sunday. It's intentional, okay? But it's not just about getting those people, it's making those connections and those relationships. And we've heard RCL repeatedly, and you're going to hear relationships. It's about the relationships. Are there clear roles and expectations for your team members? And before I get into this, I kind of want to go back once because I'm going to tell you a story. My husband travels a lot, and he wishes he could be here right now, but he's actually at a GCS board meeting, so he's not able to be here and listen to this. But he travels a lot, and when he travels across the United States, or even if he's going to be traveling internationally, he goes to the website in that local area, and he looks for a church. And he finds out what time the church service is, and he goes to that church service. He does not tell the local church he's coming. So he was traveling, and he had gotten on the website, and he had found this church, and he went to it. He arrived 10 minutes before church was supposed to start, based on the website. There was not a car in the parking lot. So he sat there thinking, well, maybe something's wrong, you know, and maybe I got the time wrong. I'll hang out for a little bit. So the time that church was supposed to start came. 10 minutes after the time church was supposed to start, people started arriving in their cars. And he's like, okay, well, all right. So he goes in with them. And while he's there, church still doesn't start because now they're waiting for the rest of the church to arrive. So for him, he was like, you know, I can't go back again because I don't really know what time church is going to start. And are we going to wait for everybody to arrive that we think should be at church that day? We have to think about what kind of impression, what are we saying? If you have a website, and Michelle Fleming is going to talk about that tomorrow, about the media and what's available to you, make sure that it's current and it's correct. If you say you're going to start at 10 o'clock, start at 10 o'clock. Even if there's only two people there, start at 10 o'clock. If you say you're going to start and you're going to end at noon, please, or earlier. Please don't go overtime. That's just something that people don't like nowadays. Are there clear roles and expectations for your team members? When you have team members, and do you have actually a job description for them? Do they know what is expected of them? Does your worship leader know what he or she should be saying or doing? Do they know what they're supposed to be, what their expectations are? Does your children's ministry leader know what their expectations are? Does your youth ministry, does your men's ministry, your women's ministry, whatever it may be? An example would be, in my church, I coordinate our children's ministry. I have a job description for my role. I know what's expected of me. I know that I have certain things that are expected, things that I need to do. And that way I can actually do them. And I can actually start mentoring others to replace me, because that's part of my job, is actually to mentor somebody. So it's very important. If you don't have job descriptions for all of your ministry leaders, I would really suggest that you sit down and just take the time to actually go through that and do that. Do the giftings and skills of your leaders match their roles? Is your worship leader have a beautiful voice, but maybe they aren't a worship leader? Does it maybe just because, well, they're there and they can sing, so we're going to let them lead the worship? But it's not their passion. It's not their ministry. Be intentional. And where it starts is the relationship again. Can they consistently maintain the week-to-week flow? Rick gave the example at our last regional celebration of the acronym FATE. FATE stands for faithful, available, teachable, and enthusiastic. Can that ministry leader actually fulfill those needs? And are they doing that? Inclusive gathering. Intentionally welcoming well-coordinated ministries with clear next steps to discipleship. An example of that would be the We Believe new member class. We have that available on our website. That's actually a great resource and a great tool to use if you're looking for new members and flowing through them. Does it start in the parking lot? When you're bringing people in, your greeters, your ushers, your children's ministry, your new member classes, do you have something that people actually feel like they can be a part of? That they aren't just, as was mentioned with Mike, they come and you pounce on them because they're new. And so I want you to now be in charge of this. You've been to church two times. Or do you wait for 5 years? Well, you know, I just don't think they have our theology, so I don't think they can do this. We have to be very careful. Have you created that relationship? It starts with, do you have a relationship with your ministry leaders? Do you see them outside of church on Sunday? spaces for fellowship and developing new relationships. Is there that space? Are you inviting your leaders into your home? Do you get together with them and have a barbecue? We talk about barbecuing and inviting people in, but do you spend time with your leaders? It's extremely important that you get to know them. I had a short meeting this morning and we were talking about a situation, and the leader knew something was not right, and they got to know the person, and when they got to know them, they understood why the person was doing what they were doing. But if you're just coming to church on Sunday and you're saying hi and how are you doing, and you're not connecting outside of church, there's no relationship, really deep relationship, getting to know what's going on in their lives, what's happening to them. Are guests meaningfully able to follow the service without confusion? This is so key. This is so important. Probably my number one thing that I would say is there a bulletin that somebody can follow? I mean, if I go to church and I'm visiting your church and I don't know when I'm supposed to stand up and sit down and worship, I get confused. So think about when a new person walks in the door. What is it that they are feeling and seeing when they walk in the door? Put yourself in their shoes. Is there a countdown clock before church starts? It is wonderful if you could do this. If you have a PowerPoint, there's free software out there where for 5 minutes it's counting down. So people know we're going to start in 5 minutes. And they're aware of it. They're not engaging in deep conversation. They're not running to the bathroom at 1 minute till. You know, does that help? It's just a tool. It's one small tool that will help with your service. Do you keep the same order every week of your service? Or do you change it up every week because you like variety? Variety can be the spice of life, but for a church service, it's not. You know, you need to have that consistency, that comfort. It really is a comfort that when you go in, you know on the fourth Sunday you're going to have communion. You're prepared for that. You know we're going to take up an offering during this time. You're prepared for that. And speaking of offering, you all will be getting email, or you should be getting an email regarding the text to give slide. And when you get that, in my church, it goes up every week. Our church members know how to do text to give, but it's also in the bulletin. But if a visitor comes, they have it available to them because they see it. So Michelle's going to talk more about that. Does the content of our service spark conversations? When church ends, are people still talking about what the subject of the service was? Are they discussing it? In my role as the children's ministry coordinator, whatever I'm teaching model is following the RCL. I have a free resource, sermonsforkids.com, I believe it is. Thanks to Mike Ermey's wife. It is absolutely free, and it's the exact same scripture that my pastor is speaking for the adults. I'm teaching to the children. There are games, resources, there are activities, there are songs, there are crafts. And the best part that I found out was there's actually a bulletin just for them that they can actually have during the service before they come out to Children's Church. But the neatest thing is that they are talking about the same thing that mom and dad learned. So they're having that conversation, and it's an ongoing conversation. Do we make physical accommodations? Do you have a mother's room? Do you have wheelchair access? Do you have handicap restrooms? All these things are important because anybody can walk in your door. Doesn't matter who it is. If you don't have a children's ministry because you don't have any children, you need to have a children's ministry, even if you don't have children. Because once they walk in with the children and you don't have anything, they probably won't come back. It is really important to have a child. If there's nothing else that you have, I stress children's ministry because it is engaging. Parents are looking for that, especially if you're trying to get in young families. They want that for their children. An inspirational Sunday service looks like: our service celebrates the nature and presence of our triune God and is interactive with congregational response, such as praise, confession, dedication, responsive reading, and scripture reading. All different aspects that the church can get involved in. Do you have somebody who reads the scripture out loud? Do you have these things? Do you have a praise and worship? Do you have the time of prayer, intercessory prayer? These are all ways that everyone corporately can interact with one another. Do guests feel welcome? Are they able to participate in the service? I know a lot of times, and I know there's a mixed feeling about this, that we tell our guests, you're a guest, you don't need to give. You're not expected to give. There's the pros and cons of that. But if I'm coming, I have to say, when I go and visit a church, I make a donation. As long as it's easy for me to do it, I'll do it. If they told me not to, it probably wouldn't make any difference. I'd still give because I feel that's part of my worship. To me, giving is part of the worship service, and it should be. It should be flowing as part of your worship. Would a guest be able to participate in your service, or would it be, no, you have to come, you have to have been a member, you have to be here for at least 2 years, and then you know, we're going to have some deep conversations, and then we might let you be a greeter at the door and hand out the bulletin. So are they able to? Can we embrace people coming and actually letting them use their gifts and talents where they lie? Is our preaching scripture based and applicable to the lives of our congregation? Back to the RCL. If we go back to the RCL every time, this is an easy answer. If you're using the RCL, this is a definitive. So now we're going to take some time to reflect. And here's the questions that I'd like you to think about reflecting on. Does our service involve God's words to us and our words to God? Do we provide space for fellowship? Does our service encourage participation? Is our assimilation ministry properly equipped and engaged?